lesson is from Genesis 3, verses 1 through 21. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our psalm for tonight is Psalm 32. And if you turn to page 230 in the front of your green hymnal, you'll find it there. Page number 230, Psalm number 32. And we'll read the verses by half verses responsively. So I'll read the first half up to the asterisk, and then you can follow Daryl with the response then of the second half, okay? Psalm 32. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven,
and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt,
and in whose spirit there is no guile.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away
because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night.
My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you.
Did not conceal my guilt.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble.
When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
Here ends our song.
The second lesson is from Romans 5, verses 12 through 19. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift, following many trespasses, brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to the justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our gospel verse.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation, may be seated. I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. Well, you could, okay, both, here. You sit right down here, then you'll be by me, and you'll be by your sisters, and you'll be by Luke. That way, we're all here together, okay? Good. All right. You ready? Put on your good ears. I'm going to spell a word. I want you to tell me if you know what it is. Ready? T-R-E-S-P-A-S-S.
Trespass.
Whoa. That's good. Do you know what a trespass is? A trespass, well, let's just think about it. Tres, that might mean like maybe three, I don't know. A pass, we know what a pass is, right? Yeah, football players, they throw passes. So a trespass must be something about football, right? No, actually, trespass, it's another word for sin, iniquity, right? So sin or trespasses. In fact, you remember that prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and
forgive us our trespasses.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Yes, trespasses. It's right there in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Yeah. Now, trespass, I brought one of my signs with. You see that I put a sign up over here too? You see where the drums are? And they're behind that protective place, right? You see? Stop. Private property. No trespassing, right? Okay? Come here. Come here now. Come on over here. You can't go over there because that's somebody else's property, right? So what does it mean to trespass? It means that we go someplace where we're not supposed to go, that we do something that we've been told not to do. The sign could say, "Keep out." The sign could say, "Don't enter." Right? So trespass, doing something that we know we shouldn't do, right? Or saying something that we shouldn't say, right? Yep. You know what I'm talking about, right? A trespass. Now that you know the word trespass, and it was in the lesson from Romans that Daryl read, the word trespass was there several times, but it's a big word. It's another word for sin, right? Okay, now let me ask you a question. In the first reading, it was a long one that Daryl read, but it was from Genesis 3 about Adam and Eve. What did they trespass?
They trespassed
the tree in the middle of the garden. There was a tree in the middle of the garden.
And they ate the fruit that was on it.
And who told them, "Don't eat that fruit"? God did. God said, "Don't eat that fruit." God could have put up a sign that said, "Stop, private property, no trespassing, don't eat. The day you eat of it, you'll die," right? Did they listen to God? No, they didn't listen to God. So that's what trespassing and sinning is all about. We don't listen to God. Instead, you know who they listen to?
They listened to the snake, the serpent. The Bible says that's the devil, Satan. Can you imagine listening to somebody other than God? That's crazy, isn't it? Yep. That's why trespasses are such a big problem. So when Adam and Eve listened to the snake instead of listening to God, do you remember what happened to them? They were in paradise in the Garden of Eden. Did they get to stay there?
No.
They got to leave. They got booted out, didn't they? And then there was a lock put on that door, and they couldn't get back in. So was that the end of their story? No, because when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus is the door, and Jesus is the key that gets us back into paradise, into a right relationship with God. And so we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I don't want to sin. I want to listen to you and follow your word. Forgive me my sins as I forgive the sins of others. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Kurt, you see, when we have a trespassing, no trespassing sign, it's not because somebody is trying to keep us from getting something good. It's because somebody is trying to protect us from getting hurt or getting something bad in our lives, like a broken relationship with God. What's your story? What's our story? What's God's story? Our story, your story, has a beginning. We hear things and we say, give me the backstory. Tell me the rest of the story. I want to know more. There is curiosity. Throughout the season of Lent, we're going to be looking at faith stories, the faith story of God Almighty, the faith story of biblical characters, faith stories of members of our congregation, and also faith stories from friends of Emmanuel. So your story has a beginning. And that beginning is found in the book of Genesis, chapters 1, 2, and 3. Today I woke up, and before I get going on some of my sermon prep, I like to check the news in case something has happened that I don't know about. There was no news that said, by the way, Jenny's coming home, right? She'll be there tonight. Nobody gave me that headline. But what I got instead was a headline that said, man reunited with his mother after 55 years. And I was curious, so I read the rest of the story. And it began in the 1960s. It began when a black girl, a teenager, got pregnant and had a little boy. Her name was Anna Mary Barnett. And she named her little son Jerry. In 1965, when Jerry was 5 and his young mother was trying to provide for him, she was working, and some days the family members could not take care of Jerry. So she had to have a babysitter. It just so happened that in 1965, when she went home after a long day of work to get her child, Jerry, from the babysitter wasn't there. And lo and behold, the babysitter had abducted Jerry. That was 1965. This is 2020. Well, the rest of the story is that this woman had taken Jerry to Delaware and after a few years had abandoned him, and he got into, what do they call that, the child care stuff, you know? Foster care. Got into foster care. And they didn't know his last name, so they gave him the last name Thomas. Jerry Thomas, right? And it messed up his life, the kidnapping, the abandonment, etc., the foster program that he was in. So he didn't really learn about being a father, a husband, he didn't have a good relationship with his kids. Then recently, one of his sons went on one of these DNA websites and had done one of these DNA testing things, found out that he had an unknown cousin that then led back to Kentucky, where Jerry was born, and the union, or reuniting with his mother, with Anna Mary. She had kept his birth certificate just in case the good Lord brought her boy back to her. 55 years ago, when Jerry was only 5 years old. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to know how stories begin. And I also like to know how stories are going to end. Your story has a beginning. According to Romans chapter 5, one man's trespass leads to condemnation for all. But one man's act of grace, obedience, leads to justification and salvation for all. There is a typology going on in Romans 5. It was a type. One man's disobedience, one man's sin leads to death, and the death of one man on a cross leads to forgiveness and resurrection and eternal life for those who are sinners. So what's your story? Well, if we go back to the beginning, we have to say, well, my story is that I'm in bondage to sin and I cannot free myself. That, like King David said, I was conceived in sin. I don't know anything other than sin until I know Jesus and then am set free and am saved. Your story has a beginning. My story has a beginning. It goes back to Adam and Eve. It goes back to Genesis. It goes back to the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. It goes back to the beginning when God said, God spoke creation into existence. God said, let there be, and there was in the beginning. And then in Genesis 2, we find out that all that God created was good, very good. And then we find out how God created male and female in God's image. In Genesis 2, we find out that God created an earthling from the earth and breathed into Adam the breath of life. And then God sought a perfect companion. Couldn't find one, so God took the side of the human being and created a man and a woman, brought the woman to the man, and they became one flesh, naked and not ashamed. And it was good, good, good. But then comes Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, the Lord God says, have at it. Eat, enjoy, but don't eat the fruit of that forbidden tree. Don't trespass. The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is off limits. So in Genesis 3, what do we find out? Will Adam and Eve believe the Lord? Will Adam and Eve trust the Lord, their creator, their God? A crafty snake, a serpent, comes along. And Luther says that the reason why the snake tempted Eve is because Adam would have been too easy. The snake says, did God say you couldn't have any fruit? You can't eat any of these trees? And Eve says, no, we can eat anything we want except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're not supposed to eat the fruit. We're not even supposed to touch it. Well, once we start playing with Scripture, once we start playing with God's Word, we start revising it, we start adding to it, you know then that the dominoes are going to fall. Adam is standing right there, her protector, not protecting her. And what do we find out? She listens to the father of all lies rather than the voice of her creator, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's pleasing to her eyes. The serpent says to her, you're not going to die. God is lying to you. When you eat the fruit, you're going to know the difference between good and evil. Your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be a God. And so she eats. And Adam eats too. And immediately their eyes are open. They know that they're naked. And they run for cover. They're naked and ashamed. And then God comes and says, where are you? They're hiding because they know they're naked. The Lord God says, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat? And you know what happens in this story. The story that had such a good beginning and now has this terrible fall. Adam points the finger at Eve and at the Lord and said, it's the woman you gave me. The woman said, it's not my fault, it's the serpent's fault. Everybody wants to pass the buck. Nobody wants to accept responsibility for the trespassing. So there are consequences for the man, for the woman, for the serpent. The good story doesn't look like it's going to end very well. And if you're like me, I want to know how the story begins and also how the story is going to end. So what will happen? Well, at the very end of Genesis 3, you start to see some signs of hope. The Lord God takes animal skins and clothes Adam and Eve, indicating that the only one who can cover our nakedness is our Creator God, and foreshadowing, prophesying, that the day will come when God will clothe and cover us trespassers with the garment of Christ's righteousness. But we know what that will cost. In fact, there is a messianic prophecy in Genesis 3. The Lord God to the serpent has said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And he will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. Right there in Genesis 3, at the very beginning of our story, God announces the ending. Calvary, Good Friday, the cross become necessary. That's how God takes care of our trespassing, by going to the cross for us. That's what Paul is saying to the Christians in Rome. One man's trespass. Who would have imagined it? One man's trespass has led to sin and condemnation for all. But one man's act of grace, one man's obedience, one man's death on the cross leads to justification, leads to salvation for all who have the faith of Jesus. You see, everyone is going to have a story, and everyone is going to have a faith. The question is, will it be the faith story of Jesus? The faith story of Jesus. In Adam all sin, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus for you. In our gospel reading for tonight, we see that the story begins with temptation. Anybody here that hasn't been tempted? To trespass?
to do what we've been told not to do, what we know is not good to do. Our story in Adam and Eve begins with temptation. So what's going to happen when Jesus has been baptized, when the Holy Spirit has descended as a dove, when the Father has spoken the word? And immediately then, the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness where he fasts for 40 days. And at the end of the 40 days, the devil comes and tempts him. There is a fable, an Aesop fable, that I remember from when I was a kid. It goes something like this. There was a turtle who was very envious. And the turtle had kind of a small little pond. And there were two ducks there that could splash around in the water, and they could fly in the skies. And this turtle became envious and thought, I wished I could see the world the way you see the world. And in the envy, this turtle was always complaining. So you know what those two ducks did? They said, stop already. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put this stick in my mouth. The other duck's going to put the other end of the stick in his mouth. You bite on the middle of that stick, and we're going to fly, and we're going to show you how beautiful it is, an aerial view. And they're up there. With only one rule. You keep your mouth shut now. They're up there flying. He's seeing the flowers. He's seeing how beautiful it is. It's absolutely amazing. And here comes a crow flying nearby. And the crow is just astonished. He says, oh my goodness, you must be the king of the turtles. And the turtle opens his mouth and says, I believe I... And he falls to his death because of pride, envy, and pride, and trespassing, and sins. They get the best of us. We know temptation. Thursday, I went over to the homestead. I wanted to meet with Bob Keith. I don't know if you know Robert Keith, but he's a lay pastor, right? He does stuff at Redeemer Lutheran. He does hospital visits, does all kinds of care, what I call pastoral care of people at the homestead. It's just amazing. So I went in there because we've talked about launching an experiment, maybe once a month for 6 months, having a service on a Sunday morning also at the homestead, so we can see if that benefits, right? The people of this community that don't know Jesus, if they can serve the people at the homestead, provide a second opportunity of worship for members and friends of Emmanuel. So I went in there to try to catch him. I'm at the desk. I'm visiting with the receptionist. I said, have you seen Bob Keith today? And he said, well, I saw him at the breakfast time. He might be down in the care center visiting some people, praying with them. He might be back in his apartment. But he usually, you see that cove over there, that table, there's a group of like 12 guys there. He said, usually, you know, is over there. I said, oh, I think maybe I see him. But I didn't see so well. He wasn't there. I went over there and I said, have you guys seen Bob Keith? And they said, oh, no. He might be down visiting people in the care center area. But he usually stops by. And then one of the gentlemen, he says to me, I was wearing my clerical shirt. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But he could tell I was a pastor, huh? He said, why don't you just grab a cup of coffee and sit down here with us? I thought, well, that sounds like welcome and hospitality. I like that. I said, okay. So I sat down, and they immediately wanted to know my story. What church are you with? Tell us about yourself. And I gave them the condensed version. I told them about the NELC, about Emmanuel Lutheran meeting here up the street, you know. I said, I'm looking for Bob Keith because we're thinking about launching a worship service on a Sunday morning here because there's none there on Sunday morning. And I said, not to get people away from their own churches, but I said there might be times where this would be a better option, maybe the weather, etc. And so they started talking about a lot of things, the churches that they went to, and then they started talking about preaching. This is really interesting, sitting around with 12 guys that all talk about preaching. Well, about that time, Bob Keith came, and he sat down with us, and I said, we've been having an interesting conversation, Bob. I said, I told them that I wanted to visit with you about a possible worship service here. And I said, but this guy right across from me, Marvin, he's been tempting me. They had not only coffee, they had this great big thing of donut holes, you know, the donut balls. And I told Marvin, I had said, he said, here, have a donut ball. I said, no, I gave up sweets for Lent, the 40 days. Those of you who know me, you know that I have a tremendous sweet tooth. This is no small thing for me to give up sweets. I mean, I can't even have this cookie out there now tonight that Marcia has, right? I'm sticking with the program even though people are trying to tempt me, right? So Marvin is tempting me, and then what does he do? He takes the thing when I've told him I can't have them, and he puts them right over in front of my face. I said, Marvin, don't do this or you might end up in my sermon this weekend. We know what tempting is like, right? The devil always wants us to fall and succumb. Well, we were talking also about the ages of people because they wanted to know how old I was. And I'm not a very good judge of age, but this one guy over here, he's 86, and he's the youngest guy around the table. And so I said, well, how old do you think I am? And they said, in your 50s? I said, 62. I said, but evidently I'm the youngest one around the table. Well, Bob Keith comes and said, okay, now we got a younger one here. And Bob says, I don't think so. I said, how old are you, Bob? 88 years old, serving the Lord full time. If you don't know Bob Keith, you need to meet him sometime. He organizes all the worship services and stuff they do over there at the homestead. Then he goes as a part of his church at Redeemer Lutheran, Missouri Synod. He goes and he visits like one day a week. He's doing a hospital visit. This guy is absolutely amazing. He just loves Jesus. He loves the Lord. He's living his faith. Well, before I left, I told the guys, I said, well, I said, this is a pretty amazing group. No wonder you guys are doing so well here. You keep company with each other. You keep company with Jesus. Because one guy across from me, Kitty Corner, 99 years old, and his wife is 3 months older than him. The other one, 98 years old. The youngest around the table before I came, 86. They meet every day for coffee. I said, I'll be back. And then the guy that invited me to sit down, he said, you can bring the cookies. I said, I told you, not during Lent. Why are you tempting me like this? And then he looks at me and he says, you can bring them. You don't have to eat them. Dear friends in Christ, you see, we've all got a story. And your story and my story always has a beginning. And the beginning of our story is in Adam and Eve. We are sinners. We are transgressors. We trespass. And we succumb to temptation. But that's not the entirety of our story. Because we have a Lord and Savior, a second Adam, Scripture says, Jesus, Messiah, who is prophesied, who would come in and die on the cross, and he would bruise the head, stomp it to smithereens of the ancient serpent. And it would be his death, but on the third day he would rise for the forgiveness of our sins. I love it when I know how a good story ends. It ends with you and me with Jesus, who is the door to paradise, who is the key to Eden and the New Jerusalem. Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, one man's act of grace has brought justification and salvation for you. The faith story of Jesus for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.